Welcome back to the Sons of Liberty. Got Bradley and Jake. Again, America, we love you. You know, one of the things I want to reiterate, too, is we can't replace principle with finances.
No way.
And that's where we're at. I mean, we look back at the forefathers. We talk about the foundations quite a bit. Mm-hmm. 17 out of how many grievances, it was the 17th where people were complaining about the taxes.
That's right.
We have to get back to the principles of who we are.
You'll see when you forsake your principles that it'll eventually lead to your livelihood, which is ultimately a reflection of what finances is. But that's how the enemy operates. He replaces principle for finances.
That's right.
Oh, I can buy this off. I can buy that off.
Sure.
Well, you can't buy off anybody that's going to be principled.
Just bow down and serve me and I'll give all this to you. That's Does that sound familiar, America?
That's exactly right. We have with us today Mr. Bob Guimon. Bob, in the late 2002, there was a number of missing college-age kids throughout Minnesota here.
Mm-hmm.
They kind of all got lumped together in people's minds, and many folks have not realized that the disappearance of Josh Guimon has never been solved. Bob, today we have you with us today, the grandfather of Josh. Thank you for being with us.
Welcome to the show, sir.
Well, thank you for having me on.
Well, Bob, I want to just kind of go through. I'll let you expound as best as you can. And again, I'm being very sensitive to the situation, but we want the folks out here to understand what's going on. And again, with all of these things being lumped, they kind of hit the scene and then they leave. But we don't realize that some of these haven't gotten solved yet. Can you give me the details of the events of Joshua's disappearance leading up to today?
Well, it started in November 9th, 2002. We got a call, parents got a call that Josh was, he didn't show up for a meeting on November 10th, a mock trial meeting. And ever since then, it's just been one nightmare. It's just been a horrible nightmare. We don't know what happened, and we don't we're not any closer to, well, we are, I shouldn't say that. We are closer to getting answers now, but it's after just about 8 years, and it's very frustrating. We have not had the cooperation I thought we should have had from the Sheriff's Department and the County Attorney's Office in St. Cloud, but we still continue that we need to find Josh, we need to get answers, we need the closure on this.
Bob, and I can totally understand the point that you're making right now because it is open-ended still to this day, and that's why we want you on the radio. Can you kind of give maybe a synopsis of those that are sympathetic towards this cause with you that are helping bring conclusion to this matter, if any?
Well, just recently, not too long ago, Fox 9, they got interested in Josh's case, and they did a very good expose on that.
Yes.
And did bring up some very good questions and some of the problems that we've seen with the investigation so far as far as what they've discovered and what we discovered. There was too many unanswered questions why people did what they did, how they did it, why they did it. So I guess that's, we're trying to follow up on a lot of these leads now.
So Fox 9, and I did see that particular report. Folks, for those of you that are listening right now, you can go to the website findjoshua.com under video and see this exact report. But in that piece, I thought they did a very nice job of bringing up some of these points that haven't been brought to conclusion. If you kind of want to bring up some of those topics, Bob, if you could kind of expound those so that the hearers can understand with Josh's particular situation, just some of the evidence that was brought forth.
Well, some of the evidence that was brought forth was we sent them the hard drive. They looked at the hard drive. We've had other people look at that.
This is his computer hard drive, right?
Right, Josh's computer hard drive. And during that report, there was a person. Now, I'll preface this by saying, on the hard, what the hard drive actually showed was there was four people that was involved that we know of making false ID on Josh's computer.
Mm-hmm.
And I reported that to the FBI. And they didn't seem to think that was a real big deal. It happens all over on every college campus. Okay, that's fine. So, and we told that to Stearns County Sheriff, and that was about the same response. And then we discovered that there was approximately 300 emails that were erased. Mm-hmm. I should back up a little bit. So it's false IDs that was made before Josh disappeared. The date's on that. But now, this was 2 days after, I believe it was 2 days after Joshua disappeared. There was a person that accessed Josh's computer and erased or forwarded over about 300 emails. And he went to an internet washer site. And we don't know why. We would like to know why he was there and did this. But there in the Fox expose on this was rather interesting. Fox News went to the door, knocked on the door. He wouldn't come and answer the door.
Mm-hmm.
Walked through the door, and they asked him if he had access to Josh's computer through a remote terminal. No. He said he had never accessed Josh's computer at all. I said, well, you know, the hard drive tells who did this. And he did that. So kind of a funny deal. I call up the detective that's on the case at the time, and I says, did you watch that Fox 9 expose on Josh? Yes, he says. I said, what did you think of it? Well, he didn't think it was okay. I said, did you notice anything kind of strange with that? Well, no. What do you mean? I said, what about the fella that you and I both know who it is that accessed Josh's computer and erased those files? And he said, right on TV, no, he's never accessed Josh's computer. I said, didn't you think that was kind of odd? And his response was, well, I'll have to review that again.
Let me go back a little bit so I can get this clear for the listeners. He was going after corrupt priests at St. John's.
Yeah.
Isn't that what this comes to?
Yes. He did a search, trying to think of the exact words.
He started digging into the corruption in the pedophile rings that were exposed there, and they were hiding priests in St. Cloud.
Right.
Isn't that what it is?
Right, yes.
Yes.
He did a search just before this. Yeah.
Yes.
On that.
Huh.
And so it's kind of a difficult situation. It's very hard for us to understand the stance of the Stearns County Sheriff on that. And, and I never heard back if they went and re-interviewed this person. I mean, we know who he is,
mm-hmm.
but then he lied. Let's put it bluntly. He lied on TV, said he never accessed Josh's computer.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's not true.
So what you're looking for at this point right now, Bob, is you simply want justice. There's other evidence out there that should be acted upon that hasn't been. I know that your plans, if you could kind of tell us a little bit about your plans to convene a grand jury.
Well, at the present, we are going forward to that. We are trying to get the information and the evidence needed to convene a grand jury. And I found out lately now, it's pretty hard in the state of Minnesota to actually get a grand jury convened.
This is justice, folks.
One thing that would have to happen is the county attorney would have to convene it.
Mm-hmm.
And the county attorney, we had a meeting when this all first started. And, let's look at it this way. Stearns County has not had a very good record of solving some big-profile cases. Number one was the Riker girl's murder. That's about 30 years ago. I might be wrong a little bit on the years. Number two was Jacob Wetterling's disappearance.
Hmm.
Number three was Joshua's disappearance. And all three had one common denominator. They all three indicated people from St. John's that was involved.
Yeah. Now, can I go back a little bit, because I'm sure you're aware of the Jacob Wetterling case. Isn't there also some new data out by a young man called Paul Benazzi that knew all about Jacob Wetterling's his abduction, and that was basically tucked under the rug as well?
Yeah, as far as I know, that is correct.
Yes. Yeah. So, folks, people do know, and there are people out there that know what happened there, but again, it's being swept under the rug, and it's just always thrown out to the people, what happened to him? What happened to him? Well, when in fact they do know what happened to him, and that's what we're coming to conclusion with. By the way, folks, we're not talking about, again, a conspiracy theory. We're talking about a grandfather on the radio with us right now. I want to ask you, sir, do you believe that Josh is alive today, Bob?
We have all the hopes in our heart that he
Amen.
Is.
Amen.
That's right.
I talked to your son, and he believed with all of his heart that he is still alive, and that, you know, basically you folks just want justice, and ultimately you want your kid back. And there's people in process that are doing everything to shield or deflect mm-hmm. what you're going for. And that's what's highly suspicious here. Right. And I think Channel 9 did a great piece, by the way, too, Bob, on digging this up. That's what really sparked us up to get you guys on the radio and get you out there. Is there anything that you want to let the American people know, Bob? And you want to put a plea out there before we cut? We got about 30 seconds.
We want them to get in touch with you, Bob. Go ahead.
Okay, yes. I would like to ask anybody that might have any information to let us know. Go to our website, findjoshua.com. And I would plead with you and beg with you right now
Amen.
And to pray for us and to, if you can see it in your heart, to donate, go to our website and under support, please do so.
Thank you very much.
To fight this.
You got it. Thank you, Bob. We'll be right back after this break.